You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. With your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is XV. What's today?
August 25th, 2010.
Awesome. And I am your host, Brian Kilby. XV is my chronometer. And with me, I have J.D. Church. I need to turn the camera on, don't I? Rob Springer. Weebum is there somewhere. Yeah, Lady Rec is on here as well. And am I missing anyone?
Me, maybe?
John DeLuna. Hey, yeah, John DeLuna.
Made myself known.
We have.
No missing John DeLuna.
No. There's no way to miss John DeLuna here.
Listen to the guy that sounds like Darth Vader.
I missed John DeLuna for about 10 years, and then he came back, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I just walked into your house and started eating your food.
I was actually listening to an old RSC from 99 or 2000, and it's like, wow, John sounds exactly the same except, you know, higher fidelity since we were doing that over real audio.
He might have lost a little energy over the years.
Haven't we all?
He talks a little bit slower than he did the AT.
As life wears you down.
It's from the head wounds caused by life.
Yeah.
the brain damage.
See, the thing is, I can imagine him just walking into your house, Brian, with like a martini glass and just popping the olives as well. We're going to do this RSC show.
I can see that. I'm sitting here playing with animated Hot what is it? Rodimus Minor. I keep wanting to call him Hot Rodimus because that's lovely, lovely Micromaster, but he's pretty awesome. I got him right here.
He is awesome. Did you get Ironhide?
No. Triplett found them for me. Chris Triplett, he only found one Ironhide. He found two Rodimuses. So,
Rodimai?
Yeah. Rodimai. Yeah. So, I like it. I recommend everyone go to tfvideo.net, and watch the review because somebody's got to watch it. So.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, do that later. That would be pretty awesome. Okay, so on this week's show, we have quite a bit of news. We have an interview with Chad, who is putting on SlagaCon. Our pal and Superhero Time host Paladin reviews War for Cybertron Megatron. We have an auto assembly recap with our pal Adam, aka Grufflock, and the very first in a new series of segments on RFC that we're calling, what, the Wiki Spotlight? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's got my wiki moment. It's got Chris McFeely. It's all that matters. So
yeah. Yes. That is the most important thing.
Recurring segment on Radio Free Cybertron featuring Chris McFeely. Do you really care what it's about?
I love Chris McFeely. It's sad.
No. You get to hear his awesome, sexy voice.
Maybe it can be a segment about how Kilby loves Chris McFeely.
I have. It's a long-standing love. Yeah.
We'd make a pretty good segment just so we can talk about how awesome.
We do that every week in a show called Fanboy Versus. So.
Yes. I recommend everyone listen to that. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. Dark Mount and War for Cybertron Megatron are out in Target in California.
Oh. Yeah. Aw, too bad I'm boycotting Target.
Damn. Too bad I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah, same here. Why are you boycotting Target, JD?
Arizona.
I'm gonna jump into it. It's a political reason.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys have heard.
That's all we need to know. All we need to know.
Yeah, against his religious beliefs.
Do what?
I said it's against your religious beliefs.
What religious beliefs?
No religious beliefs. Right. So there's nothing for them to be against.
Shopping is against my religion.
I'm against your own.
Actually, JD's religious beliefs, if he had some, would very much include shopping.
Yeah, I do plenty of shopping. So.
Yeah, so. Okay, interesting. But yeah, if you're in California and you have a Target, go.
And you're not JD.
Yeah, if you're not JD.
And you're not boycotting Target. I'm not the only one. There are other people out there that are boycotting Target.
Yeah, no, MoveOn.org is boycotting Target.
Yeah, well, it's a big thing going on.
There's a current reason why, but yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Oh, there's more?
For another podcast. But
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take it offline. Sure. Yes. Yeah. So, in the post show. So,
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that during one of the breaks or something.
In the post show. So Toys R Us exclusive Green Legends Devastator is out. If you missed,
I believe also in California.
Okay.
Is it just in California right now?
Well, that's what I saw so far. I didn't look to see how widespread it's gotten so far, but it started in California, just like Dark Mountain.
I missed out on that. I figured that would be, I figured they would ship that more than once, to Walmart. So I need to.
Oh,
need
you don't have one?
No.
I think I've still got them here. $35 for it.
I think I've still got them here. Do you want one? I can pick one up for you.
Sure. If you see one, give me
a
yell.
If I see one, I'll pick it up for you.
Okay.
All right. It's a fun set.
Yeah. So.
I love it. I want the green set, even though I have the red. Well, I have the Japanese box version, and I have the Walmart one, and I still want this one. It's a great set.
Yeah, I want the green version. I'm just a little disappointed that the purple from the Takara version is not on it.
Oh, it's not?
It's all green.
Really?
Yeah, it looks nice. Ooh. It's just not as nice as the purple and green.
Aw.
I want an orange one.
Dude, I want that's red and blue and orange.
Oh, you want the Walgreens one?
Yes.
You want the rainbow one?
Yes.
That's kind of what the first one is.
The G3 one? Is that what?
G3. Dude, I completely forgot people called that stuff G3. That's great. Yeah, that's totally true.
Speaking of other sightings, somebody on the forums posted that it's Human Alliance Mudflap is now in stock at Big Bad Toy Store.
Interesting. Oh.
Interesting.
I thought he was already out. I guess
not. He was released.
No, it has been out, but it's been extremely hard to find. Mostly, it's been turning up in Canada.
Yeah.
Why do the Canadians always get the cool stuff?
It's basically they're socialist bastards.
It's a distribution reason to it. Coming out the tail end of a line, so those ones always become impossible to find.
That's usually why we should support socialism, because we can get good toys.
We could get more stuff. I don't think it works that way.
Actually, yeah, government subsidized Transformers collecting sounds pretty cool on the surface.
Sounds sensible. Until you have to pay like 70% taxes to get it, and then you go. Uh-huh.
Or if
it's communism, toys for everyone.
Now wait a minute, I saved my Target discussion, so we probably
are you avoiding Target for reasons of socialism or communism?
No, it's actually for a hyper. It's actually okay. Well, thanks anyway.
Okay, so we have an alternate head sculpt which has been revealed for the Teradive mold and Skullgrin as well. So that came up from
for Dark Mount.
Is this Hooligan? What is this?
Don't know. We saw him at BotCon for like a split second because they just flew through those slides.
Yeah,
I'm voting for Space Case.
Space Case Strafe.
It does look like it is very Cyber Jetty-ish.
Very much so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the basic shape of that vehicle mode is
Cyber
Jetty-ish. I mean,
so this came from the online...
it came from Hasbro Instruction Archives.
I thought they took that down, so that's still up. Know.
That's what they made you think, so you wouldn't suspect anything.
Well, also has been found in that is... redeco of I think an Activator movie Bumblebee and animated Soundwave, probably in the white colors from that one episode of season 3.
I figured people really cared about Activators, so
I like Activators.
They're fun.
They are.
They're activation. Wait, that didn't come out as
good. Yeah, my Activator Bumblebee fell off the shelf the other day and transformed on impact.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Wow. That's great.
Nice.
Hidden feature.
How did you train him to do it?
I don't know how we've come a fandom that despises it when we're all about it in Beast Wars.
People all about it in Beast Wars?
There's no complaint. I don't think so.
They're all about it in Machine Wars, but not Beast Wars.
Well, that's because that's all Machine Wars was.
No, that's not true. The Jets weren't.
What Jets? The Cyber Jets?
No, the little Jets in Machine Wars auto-transformed.
Did they?
Yeah, the Jets
auto-transformed. Megatron and Megastorm? Yeah, but their legs didn't fold into place automatically. You still had to put the legs into place.
Oh, God. Yeah, you might have to fold the leg. But no, the body did.
The legs were basically in the correct place anyway once they transformed. You just had to turn the lower leg so the feet were facing forward.
Yeah, Megaplex and Megatron. I love that Takara went back and used the Megaplex name again.
Yeah, that was a good name.
Yeah, I love that. The fact that they kept that going. Let's see here.
I'm doing a gym. I'm gonna do some megaplexes.
Gonna do megaplexes. Oh, I'm so tired. I've been doing megaplexes the last 2 hours.
Burn some carbs.
Yeah. So, Figure King Magazine 151 has pictures of the Melloway Elite Guard, animated Optimus, and a crazy silver Bumblebee, which is a 40-piece lucky draw item.
Yeah, if you go and spend like 3,500 yen on Transformers animated products in Japan,
which is only $30.
Yeah, that's not much.
Actually, it's about 40 now, but you're automatically entered into the contest to win one of 40 silver Bumblebees.
Neat. I would take it.
That sounds so great, isn't it? It's not as bad as that AC whatever in Hong Kong, where if you spent like a certain amount of money, you would get entered into a drawing for one gold Bumblebee. It was like, spend this much money. And it's like whoever spends the most money. So it's like a blind spending spree. It was ridiculous.
I'm sure if this Bumblebee was gold instead of silver, it'd be crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they want it to be a second place type prize. They don't want you to win completely. I mean, come on now.
Right.
Well, don't be silly. They're still remembering it is just Bumblebee after all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's animated deluxe Bumblebee. It's not that great.
Yeah. If you've been waiting, Takara's Wingblade Optimus and Jetpack Bumblebee come out on September 18th. I'll be in Connecticut for a wedding on that day, so I probably won't get them then. Won't be in Japan, but I want Wingblade Optimus, admittedly.
Yeah.
I wanted it more when it was going to be the parts coming with the deluxe Optimus mold.
Yeah.
Is the Voyager mold not as
good? Yeah, Takara's using the Voyager.
Yeah, but is it not as good? Is the Voyager not as good as the deluxe?
Well, okay.
No, the Voyager is awesome, dude.
Okay. Here's my thing with it, though. The Deluxe Prime only came out here with the battle damage paint on it, and the Wingblade version would have been a clean deco.
Fair enough.
So that's why I wanted that.
Yeah. True. But I mean,
I just like it smaller.
Yeah.
Optimus? Dude, yeah. I love that Voyager mold. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great toy.
It's the best version of that toy. It's way better than Armor Up Optimus is the Activator repaint. That gigantic one I have back here, I'm trying
to roll out.
It does the twist, the transform.
Yeah, yeah. Way better than that piece of crap.
I feel like Takara is just doing it to rub it in our faces.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, you Americans don't deserve these toys.
That's not true, we do!
We do deserve them.
No, we don't deserve them because Animated got canceled here. Obviously, we didn't love it enough.
I mean, it ended.
I loved it a lot.
Yeah.
I loved it for like 100 people.
The sad thing is it's going to be like at a Japanese Walmart. Where the whole sales problems came from.
Yeah, where the masses can buy them.
Yeah, here they were like, dude, do you see these sales dips from movie and just animated crap? Bring some movie crap back. And then over there, they'll be like, give us more.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why the movie did so well, right?
Because of the toys.
The movie, like, line did so well because Animated, like, pretty much sucked the crap out of their sales.
Mm. Wait.
What?
Explain to me what you mean by that, please.
When Animated first came out, the toys didn't come out yet. They waited for at least a good 3-4 months before the toys.
Yeah, that's true. They did wait.
So kids were like, oh, cool. And then by that time, it was already on season one hiatus or something in between like season one or season two hiatus or something.
It was in that time, yo.
Yeah, so the kids were like, oh, I don't know what the hell this is.
I guess it was kind of bad timing.
It was very bad timing because they were holding it off for the movie line to die down because it was just selling so much. But
the movie line sucked. The first one
was huge, though.
Right, but kids don't know that.
Yes, some
kids will buy anything.
But
they won't buy poop, but okay.
That thing is actually retroactive thought.
Have you tried?
I have not tried.
They have to buy poop. They have their own already.
Most do.
They'll buy fake poop. I mean,
Thing is, Animated sold well enough to be like Raptor with Energon and Cybertron.
Yeah,
but after that movie Juggernaut, It's like, okay, you know what? Drop in sales.
Exactly. Yeah. Humongous drop in sales. Because if you saw that when the movie first, when the second movie came out and they compared it from year to year, their revenue was like, that's why it jumped so much. That's why it's so astronomical, because animated dragged down their sales revenue so much.
That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah. That makes
it's
me
a very worry. Good show.
It makes me worry if when the movies do die down, just become straight to video things or whatever. Will it just be like one peg hook with Transformer toys now? You know, that's kind of concerned about that.
The amount of shelf space at the stores probably will reduce like it was before the movies came around.
It did at my local Walmart. They have about half the space that they had before.
I mean, it's just a cycle. You know, the big movie for the season is what's going to get the most space, and everything else is going to have to adjust down to compensate.
Yeah, it's a different world than it was during Beast Wars. But in Beast Wars, whenever a new, like, the Transmetals came out, or when Beast Machines came out, there was always a huge display at Walmart or wherever because they were really pushing these toys. But I guess now you really do have to have a big movie or a cartoon behind you before you get the promotion.
You're
going to
have
promotion.
A big marketing push and buy up a lot of space now.
The fact that Target, the way they pushed the Hunt for Decepticons when it came out, that's impressive. I mean, they gave it when Iron Man 2 cleared out, they put Toy Story 3 toys in there. And now that Toy Story 3 kind of died out, they put the Hunt for Decepticons, and they gave them, at least the ones that I've been to, they gave them as much shelf space.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive. So,
and a giant end cap.
Yeah, that round end cap at the end.
You know, they should start selling Piranha 3D toys, because I think there's a huge market there for that.
Would that come with, face peeling action? And
and it causes seizures because of the way this movie schisms.
Dude, the movie was awesome.
Was it?
Yes.
Were you there on opening night?
No, I saw it Sunday. It was fantastic.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the funny thing is they showed all the trailers for the 3D movies. You know, I enjoyed it thoroughly. You can shut your brain off. It's nothing but bombs and boobs. Or not bombs, but it's just...
Well, it's nothing but bombs and boobs. Well, it's boobs.
Yeah, just boobs. But the movie is insane. But the thing is, all the 3D trailers they showed before the movie started, the best one was Resident Evil.
Resident Evil is like I Am Legend with two women.
Well, no, it was filmed apparently using the same technology as Avatar. The worst, Tron Legacy. The Tron Legacy 3D looked weak.
No. Huh.
You say it isn't so.
Well, the movie was not filmed in 3D.
Yeah.
They're doing
is it post 3D?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, I didn't know Resident Evil was doing it, but the third movie, I guess, would be Transformers 3 is using those cameras as well.
Yeah, it's filmed in actual 3D.
Yeah, so hopefully those two movies won't be as bad as Avatar.
Well, I can't wait to see Mojo in 3D.
Yeah.
I want to see Step Up 3D.
Oh, God. Okay. XV, did you say something?
What I'm waiting for is, you said already that the Transformers movies will probably die down and go direct to video. I'm waiting for Transformers movies to be sci-fi originals.
Oh, nice.
Piranha 3D was basically a sci-fi original, but in 3D with boobs. It was kind of awesome.
The next big sci-fi original has it down. Sharktopus.
Awesome.
So basically, if it's like sci-fi and Skinemax had a baby, it would be
in 3D. Yes.
Piranha's 3D.
Yes.
Can it beat Piranha 2 where they're flying? It's like, don't go into water. Okay, well, they're fish. I'll just get on this boat. Oh, crap, they're flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be as good as Ice Spiders.
Yes. Okay.
The Lupus.
All right.
Okay.
So.
Transformers 3 will be shooting at the Florida Space Coast to Coast. thinking Space Coast. Okay. So,
look at all this oil.
At the end of September, but we'll head to Detroit before that in D.C. for only 3 days. Sorry, Bleebum.
Space shuttle.
Dope.
Oh, wow.
Does that mean Skylynx?
Or Blastoff?
Guys.
I'm going to vote
Or that G.I. Joe shuttle.
No, it's just going to be Trax.
Yeah, Trax, yeah. Perfect.
I would imagine that it will have Skylinks, but it
the irony is they're making this big production and we won't see a single shuttle in the entire movie.
No, you know what it is? It's going to be a countdown.
Oh, good idea. Mm-hmm.
The whole shuttle pad will transform too.
That'd be wonderful.
Yes.
It'll never happen.
That's wonderful. No, it'll just be Jetfire comeback, which will be awesome itself.
Yeah, Jetfire is awesome. Yeah.
Wow, look at Countdown, and his testicles are in 3D.
Okay, so new official pictures of Takara's upcoming Predaking reissue.
Job there.
Yeah, I know. I want that desperately.
Yeah.
But they unplay schooled it. It's worthless.
They did unplay school it. It's gold now instead of yellow. I mean, it actually looks like fanboys had colored it back in the 80s instead of what we got. Because it was fun school tastic. Originally it was pretty bright and pretty garish.
New
one,
yeah. Saturated oranges and yellows.
The new one, though, very beautiful. Want desperately.
They uncuddlyfied them.
Like, you know, chibi Predacons.
Yes, I want that now. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. So, did Amy step out? Yeah, I think Amy stepped out.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. There so, this one is.
She's
this one.
She's just disappointed at all the discussion of boobs.
Yeah,
and
she's just shaking her head.
Boobs and Predacons.
I was just sitting back there doing that. Yeah.
So this one's framey. It's what is it? It's Predaking Awareness Week.
God, Brian.
Sorry.
Are you drinking?
What
or do
is
you
wrong
need to
with
drink?
You?
I need to drink.
Yeah. You, no, it's Wreckers.
I.
Wreckers.
Yes, Wreckers. So what is this Wreckers Awareness thing? It's part two, isn't it? Because we already had Records Awareness Week.
Yeah, they did back in January when, like, I think the first issue came out. Sorry, got kids in the background and I can't do anything about it because I'm trying to talk. Yeah, Records Awareness Week. Basically, it actually started by me. I'm trying to get the word out because next September 1st, the Records trade paperback will be coming out, and we want everybody to buy it. Just buy it.
I bought it.
We want to buy it till it's all sold out. Yes, yes. Brian, I'm very proud of you for doing it. Just based on what I said, you just went and bought it. Yay!
Yeah.
And while you're at it, go buy the UK reprints with the Wreckers in it.
The real Wreckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And then like the 3H Wreckers, go buy them on eBay. Let's make it a whole Wrecker shopping spree.
Like the real, yeah, like really learn about the Wreckers and what they're about. That's a great idea. What are there any Titan trades on that, Rob?
There's not a straight up Wreckers thing, but of course Target 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did a review on it on the Underbase.
Yeah, there's a couple other ones. They're kind of more story arc centered, not just straight Wreckers or.
No, of course. Yeah, I mean the Titan trade. I mean none of the trades.
Yeah.
Just around characters.
Time Wars, of course.
Yeah.
And then just everything in between. And then after Time Wars, you get the cool Survivor stories, which is like Wreckers Team Blue.
I haven't read any of that since the 1990s. I need to go back and reread the UK comics so much.
It's pretty well.
Yeah,
except for the whole Ironhide digging his own grave part. That was always stupid.
What?
So, yeah.
How much is it? How much is the trade for that?
$15, I think, Amazon.
Not bad.
Yeah. Depends where you actually buy it from. If you buy it from your local comic shop, if you pre-order, it'll probably be cheaper. If you buy it on Amazon, it'll be at one price. If you buy it somewhere else, it'll be another price. So, yeah.
Amazon currently has
more than like $20.
$13.49 pre-order price at Amazon.
That's really good.
It is really good.
It's really good. Yep.
Yeah.
The only problem is that you probably won't get the trade paperback on the release date. You'll probably have to wait like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's how it was with that's how it was with Allspark Almanac.
I kind of had it explained to me the reason why Amazon is usually later getting stuff out than the actual release dates. And yeah, it's because Diamond does all of the comic distribution and Amazon doesn't have, you know, exclusive. We're going to get it first before anybody else. So, yeah. Anyhow, we're just trying to get the word out, let everybody know about Wreckers. and the trade paperback. And, you know, of course, this sounds like a great idea. Go and find more stuff about Wreckers and buy other stuff that have stuff to do with Wreckers. That's cool. That'd be good.
Get your Primal Prime.
Oh, yeah.
The 3H Wreckers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
So tweet about it, Facebook about it, make YouTube videos, podcasts, what we were doing right now, blog. Go to your forums and tell everybody about it, and comic shops, call them up, tell them, hey, if you don't have it, I want a copy, you know. Anyhow.
If you don't have it, I will burn your shop to the ground. That's what you need to tell them. Make sure to do
it. That says nice. Not really.
Yeah, make sure not to, you know, not like have a phone number that, you know, that they can track or anything like that. Buy like a track phone. That's probably the thing to do.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a lot of work.
You want to be able to go back to that comic shop and afterwards.
Well, I mean, it depends on how dedicated you are to this whole Wreckers awareness thing. If you're really dedicated, you'll do it.
And I guess that would sort of be Wrecker style, right? I
mean, yeah. Not really.
I had a mental image of a very pudgy guy with like a bandana tied around his head going, Rick and Roo, and running around trying to burn down a comic shop.
Nice.
And other than the comic book shop thing, that's pretty much me on the weekends.
Rick and Roo.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll listen to the first Wiki Spotlight, which again features Chris McFeely. So this is our first in hopefully a series of many Wiki Spotlights. With us this week, we have the inimitable Chris McFeely, and I think he's going to be talking about Unicron.
Yep, that's our featured article for this month, so it seemed like a good place to start this little feature off with. It's a pretty expansive article that has just recently undergone a bit of an overhaul to flesh out many of its sections. Covers, you know, I would say that anybody will learn something from this article. Covers, as every Wiki article does, covers every appearance of Unicron from everything. And that's a lot of appearances. All the different iterations of his origin story, is the way it has been told. Many, many footnotes to explain the numerous discrepancies. There's a lot of stuff in here from his appearances in the movie, his battles with Primus, and that one time that he had battle beasts inside his head.
That's awesome.
Was a lot more besides.
I'm taking it that was manga.
No, that was a G.I. Joe crossover.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And there's a sub-page for his toys as well, because the article is of such a size that the toys are shunted off to a side page. And there's everything on there, from all of his unreleased prototypes to all of his crazy merchandise.
Excellent. Okay. Did you have any thing to do with the article yourself? I mean, what did you contribute to this article?
Most recently, not too much. but I remember giving it a big overhaul sometime in the distant past that tried to knock some sort of structural order into it, which has since been expanded upon greatly. I just feel it's an article that's very worthy of attention, regardless of whether or not I did anything to it.
So what would you say would be like the biggest takeaway from this article, or the most interesting nugget within?
That one version of Unicron destroyed the GoBots universe.
which Unicron was that?
That was the Marvel version of Unicron. And also, there was a version of Unicron from the GoBots universe.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to have to go read this article right after we record the podcast.
Well, then my job here is done. Away!
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the official podcast of TFormers.com.
So we are back. JD, why don't you tell us about this day in history?
Yes, this day, August 26, 2002. That was 8 years ago. Transformers Takara is released on DVD in the UK by Sony Wonder and Maverick Entertainment. So,
and of course, you know what Transformers Takara was.
Yeah, that's the no.
You don't know what Transformers
is. Isn't that the collection? Is that the collection?
That's
the
Omni Dubs collection, aka RTM.
Yes,
I thought so.
But it also has the Japanese language version on it.
Who cares about that?
Well, on the Master...
Does it have it with a subtitles
the, on
and
the,
everything?
On the Master Force disc, which is the second volume they released, McFeely actually has a little shout-out, because McFeely does the commentary on these. So you knew that, right? He does the audio commentary.
Yeah.
So he actually quotes me in one of those. It's kind of awesome.
That's cool.
It's kind of.
So you're like famous by proxy.
By proxy of McFeely.
Famous by proxy.
Yeah, so McFeely refers to God Bomber as a flaming piece of crap. yes.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Memories. So anyway, yeah, there you go. It's awesome stuff. I don't know. I don't own it, but I wish. Because it wouldn't play over here unless you had.
Or just play on your computer. I mean, yeah. Your computer doesn't care.
Will it play on? Yeah, I guess it would do that. Yeah. It doesn't care about regions.
No. So, yeah, definitely that was pretty sweet. Let's see here. Amy, did you get your hands on Ironhide number 4?
I did.
You want to tell us about it?
It was a lot of bug bashing.
Okay.
I did put a review up actually last night because I'm really behind on all my reviews. But yes, it was a very good issue. It ended strangely. I don't know how much spoilers do you want me to preface?
Abruptly.
Yeah. Very.
Very abruptly. Well, let's just say No, the ending, basically, half the comic was devoted toward extermination of the bugs. And then Metroplex steps in for a, like, one panel,
too.
Two panels. Welcome back.
That's with Metroplex. I'm here, yeah. Too.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry.
it's like, don't forget the Metroplex.
Completely random. Yeah. Yes, he was still there.
He's been in the back doing a couple hundred.
Yeah, then Alpha Trion.
Sorry.
Yeah, doing curls.
Alpha Trion slips in a couple Pandora's boxes, and we get, you know, Sunstreaker in a wheelchair. And, Alpha Trion says he's going to leave and go off to do other things and tells Ironhide to stay here. And, oh, by the way, clean up the rest of the bugs that didn't get squashed, and I'll see you later. And then that's the end.
Alpha Trion has gone up to get himself in that score.
It's pretty much the equivalent of watching renting a movie, and it's really cool. You're like, oh, this is kind of deep. Oh, I kind of like this. And it's like something's about to happen, and then the credits start rolling.
Yeah. Hmm? Kind of like Piranha 3D. That's kind of how it worked out. Okay.
But yes, the artwork was excellent. I don't know if I would tell anybody to go and buy it other than just for the artwork, because the story just had, it was just too, it started great, and then all of a sudden they put Alpha Trion in there, and it just suddenly, just like the dialogue in number 3 was, this one in issue number 4 actually was better. It didn't seem so chatty, it just kind of worked better. Half the comic, there were no comments. It was just like bugs getting destroyed and lots of explosions, and that was really cool. And then it just kind of, this is how it ends. Ironhide walks off and sits down in just a panel and just sits there, and that's the end. It was like, oh, really? Hmm? Okay, let's go do something else.
Sounds like Lord of the Rings or something.
So
it's kind of like
the
original Batman movie series. Like, whoa, huh? Oh.
Okay. Excellent.
Go read my review on it. I don't say audio reviews very well, like on the fly. If I'd known that you were going to ask me about it, I would have prepared something.
We don't prepare on this show.
I do, because I
get, I can't just make stuff up. I'm sorry.
I do like that Metroplex is pretty much Alpha Trion's Ford Taurus.
Yeah, that was kind
of like his sole purpose of life. Like, where you want to go today? The mall.
Amy, you could lie. I want to know why. Know any better.
I don't lie. I'm sorry. I'm just brutally honest. What can I say? Well, not brutally. If I was really brutally honest, I'd say just don't buy it. It's not that great.
Well, there you go. That's
what
we really want.
The art was really wonderful.
Won't be no Iron Eyes.
The art was really wonderful. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. Checking our itinerary for today's show. It looks like we have a review of War for Cybertron Megatron by our pal, Paladin.
You're joking, right?
Yes, Breakdown. I am famous for my sparkling sense of humor. Now get moving before I dismantle you myself!
Welcome to Paladin's Place, the preferred provider of mechanized melee. The good people at Radio Free Cybertron have asked me to expand my repertoire from the usual Megazord talk I do for superhero time to cover the latest incarnation of the dreaded Decepticon leader. The first wave of the Transformers Generations toy line, containing classic updates and or variations of beloved characters, came with two designs based on the best-selling War for Cybertron video game, Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. While the actual transformations of these two toys were rather frustrating, I for one found them to be overall pretty good molds. The second Generations wave is currently making its way across the US, to much rejoicing, I'm sure, and contains yet another War for Cybertron toy. Megatron is the third of four currently planned designs based on the War for Cybertron game, and the first Cybertronian Decepticon in this new series. In vehicle mode, Cybertronian Megatron is a pointy hovercraft. It's kind of odd-looking, to be honest, but far from the worst alternate mode used by a Megatron toy. Megatron possesses the easiest transformation to date of all the War for Cybertron toys. It's mildly complex, but without feeling like a pain in the ass, which is usually the best way to go for this sort of thing. The resulting robot mode looks exactly like what you'd expect from a pre-Earth Megatron figure, keeping such classic elements as the arm-mounted fusion cannon, which can be mounted on either arm, depending on your preference, and the trademark Evil Battle Helmet. Articulation here is relatively acceptable for a deluxe-sized figure, but the transformation scheme does prohibit movement in a couple of key areas. I would have liked to see this Megatron toy with an actual waist or some more appropriate elbow movement, but everything else here is good. Oh, and the mace weapon is sadly not included. Hopefully some repro part makers will get to work on fixing that little problem before too long. Overall, though, Cybertronian Megatron is a very satisfying figure. Fun in both modes and makes a great counterpart to the already released Optimus figure. Definitely gets my recommendation. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more exciting Radio Free Cybertron productions.
We're back, and I wanted to tell you all about the contest that we have going on.
I thought you wanted to tell us all about the Transformers.
We can't join the contest.
No, sorry.
But I want
the listeners. Oh no! Oh well.
Well, I Amy, you can always quit.
No. Actually, no. She.
I mean, if you still have to join the contest,
I don't think she'd be eligible even then. I would have to consult a lawyer, so I haven't had a good time with lawyers lately, so yeah.
Yeah.
Has anybody?
Well, tell us about the contest,
okay,
Ryan.
So we are giving away Transformers Animated Rodimus Meyer. I have him in my left hand. If you're watching the video, you see him dancing around. Hey, I'm Rodimus Meyer. So we're giving one away.
Oh, is that what you call
it? So we're giving one away, and it's pretty easy. All you have to do to bring awareness to our YouTube account, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just go to tfvideo.net, and it'll bring up our YouTube page. It's pretty simple. While I can't say it's going to win you any extra points, but if you want to submit to us a video saying why you should win the Rodimus Miner, we'll definitely play those on the show. So that would be really cool. But you have until the last Tuesday, we'll say the last Wednesday in September. So just subscribe to our YouTube channel. We throw videos, and Rob throws all sorts of crazy awesome stuff up. Rob reviews random stuff, Like, the last thing you reviewed was a bootleg sticker book.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. So,
not licensed.
Yeah, so it's, what is our YouTube name? Is it TF Radio Network?
Something like that. TF Radio.
It's go to http://tfvideo.net.
Yeah, but if you're already on YouTube.
I mean, that's the easiest way to do it.
That's true, but TF Radio Network, one word, is our YouTube channel. So all you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we will be giving away one Rodimus Miner the end of September. No purchase necessary, nothing like that. You just can't be, you know, on the staff or crew of RFC or tformers.com. Otherwise, you are eligible. So good luck and subscribe and enjoy the videos. Kind of cool.
But feel free to purchase us something, because that wouldn't help us.
That's what I was going to say. What you should have done was just have it as an excuse for people to buy Rob stuff and send it to his house.
Like, look at all this Vegemite. What the hell's going on here?
Hey, wait a second. Hang on a second. I know some people can't see it on the podcast, but...
Oh, no.
My girlfriend Bummer. Left
it. What was it? I wasn't looking. Sorry. I was...
Vegemite.
What on earth? It comes in a tube?
It does come in a tube.
Oh, gosh.
We're getting more viewers.
I thought that was just in the song.
And this is, this came all the way from Australia, so.
Tastes like death.
It's Vegemite. It's not just in 80s songs anymore.
It's, if the webcam can pick it up, it's concentrated yeast extract.
Does that mean it's like condensed bread? I mean,
yeah. In a tube.
Add water.
You know that,
what
stuff grandma's put on cuts that's black?
I have never had Vegemite, nor will I ever.
Well,
in case you didn't have Vegemite.
This has been sitting on her desk for about a year now, and it's still sealed.
You could, if there was a nuclear war, you could still eat it.
You could probably kill somebody if you poured this on them.
What's your list of ingredients?
Make them burst into flames.
Death page.
Vegemite, Bob.
Death.
And, riboflavin. That's good.
Riboflavin. Can't go wrong with riboflavin.
I like riboflavin. I'm probably
suitable for vegetarians, so that's good.
Yeah.
Which means it's healthy.
No.
That doesn't mean it's healthy.
No, it's lies.
Have a taste, Peter. It'll kill you quick.
Chocolate cake is theoretically vegetarian.
That's true.
Yeah,
I haven't had it since before when Finback brought some to OTFCC 04. I had like this, like just a little taste. It was like my whole tongue. like I just put a lit cigarette on my tongue. It was like, and then he's like, oh, look what I can do. And he squirted it all in his mouth. He's like, this is good stuff.
No.
Well, he eats it for every day for breakfast.
Yeah, so okay. So, tfvideo.net, subscribe, and you have a chance at winning another Rodimus Miner. So, there you go. We're going to go ahead and take another... This is a great jam-packed, great show.
It's like network TV. Yeah. This is awesome.
It's not sponsored or anything. It's all...
Broken,
don't hear.
Broken podcast.
Yeah, so,
somebody not that we about would Jay say Leno. No to sponsors.
Yeah, we actively say no to sponsors on this show. No, we don't. Okay. No.
Keep your money.
Do you not want us to sponsor you? No.
So
give us nothing. We will not. We do not want it.
Yeah. So we'll be back after our pal Grufflock tells us more about auto assembly.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Transformers, robots in disguise.
Why, hello there. I didn't see you come in. Welcome to the old oil house. I suppose that you'd be wanting to know all about auto assembly. Me and my co-hosts here were just sitting around discussing it. Please, take a seat. I am Grufflock. With me today is...
It's Stu, it's Dark Ages.
And next to him there is...
It's Chaos Envy.
And we're British. Oh, yes.
Yes. We're all sat here with cups of tea, bowl hats and pipes.
No. Actually, not too far from the truth.
But those ankles, mother!
You're inflaming me. Yeah, we're just doing a quick little overview of auto assembly for Mr. Kilby and the rest of the RFC group.
Meh.
Including McFeely. McFeely!
McFeely doesn't need to hear any of this. He was there.
This is true. McFeely, stop listening. Now!
No, wow. We mean it. Stop listening.
Stop it.
We're not continuing until you're out the room.
No, he's gone. Come on.
His fingers are in his ears. Right, cool. So, Auto Assembly 2010. Your thoughts?
It was immense fun. I'm going next year. If you haven't already been, come.
Yes, even you Americans and Australians and other countries of the world.
Slovakians.
Yes, Slovakians. Yes.
You've got no excuse. People at Auto Assembly, just off the top of my head, were from America and Korea.
And Dutch. There was some
Dutch, yeah.
Some Dutch people in there.
And efficient Germans.
Yeah, there were Germans, there were Swedes.
Yeah, this is the reason.
And that's the people, not the vegetable.
Yeah, we took some turnips. Because that's how we roll.
Yeah, baby.
Random vegetables to conventions. What? Next year, I'm taking at least a parsnip.
What did you buy? Oh, I bought a bag full of vegetables.
Yeah. It was absolutely immense fun. You know, I ended up having to go home one night earlier than the rest of the guys because literally could not afford the room or the train trip back, so I had to get a lift back. But I'm so gutted that I missed the last night because...
Yeah, you missed a lot of fun.
It's not even the fact that it was, a fun night. It was just the fact that I was having such a good time at Auto Assembly, I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Neither did me. Neither did me, neither did we.
It got to the point where it was going to have to sleep. Yeah. Don't want to, might miss out on fun.
Yeah. I think the best way to describe it is just it was an experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's just no other way of explaining walking out onto the balcony of a little Holiday Inn and there's Scott McNeil just having a fag and having a chat with people.
So maybe we should just clear this up. When he says fag, he means cigarette.
Yes.
Because some listeners will be like, he was having a gay dude? Okay!
Rob, you're a cigarette.
For that man, I'd be a cigarette.
For Scott McNeil, we'd all be cigarettes. Smokers McNeil! Yeah, we're going down a path we don't want to go down here, I think.
To man this up a bit more, the man has got one hell of a high five.
This is true. I really regret my running high five.
I regret my three fails.
Fail cakes.
It's a bitter cake.
Although I will admit, my first high five attempt was a bit of a fail, but then the second one, it was like high fiving the Todd. That's a Scrubs reference there.
Well, really, duh.
Well, just for anyone listening who doesn't know.
At least you two got your high fives in.
No, you just pegged it from the other side of the bloody building.
I half expected you to tackle him off the balcony.
I expected him to tackle me off the balcony.
Sidestep you.
It was all well and good, up until the point where I went to sit down and I realised how much pain my arm was suddenly in.
And then he's stolen your wallet. Son of a bitch!
He stole my wallet and my pants!
He's good.
He didn't even touch me! How do you do that? So yeah, we had Scott McNeil, we had Gary Chalk,
who is awesome.
Astoundingly great.
And as I joked one morning, eats breakfast like normal people.
Scott McNeil and Gary Chalk are normal peoples. This doesn't make no senses.
Scott McNeil stays up late and gets drunk with normal people.
I wouldn't exactly call Scott McNeil a normal person because he's got about as many voices in his head as us lot combined.
I've just had a thought. Did anyone else see Scott McNeil eat at any point?
No.
Does that man require any kind of
nourishment? No, he just drinks alcohol.
Only fluids, the doctor said.
We're so going to get restraining orders for this one.
In fairness, did you see Jerry J. White eat at any time during the weekend?
No.
Room service.
Yeah, we'll be
on. Somebody else is paying for it.
I did see the artist's eat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. The artists are like proper people. They eat.
Yeah, they were brought sandwiches by... the staff at the convention, you know, every chance they got, you're like,
let's get a mouthful. Nom, nom, nom.
Too busy sketching Hot Rod for the 50 millionth time.
So, I suppose we might as well quickly go through What did the you think of the artist or the artist section?
I thought it was really cool just to be able to walk up to this long table of artists and just basically okay, there was quite a few people wanting to get autographs and that, so you couldn't really have an in-depth conversation or anything. Mm-hmm. But it's just the fact that most of them were just say, can you sign this? Oh yeah, and you just have a little chat with you while they were signing.
Yeah,
And a lot of them were doing, you paid like £5 or something, you got a sketch. I got mine from Chris Carter. He was mainly a colourist, but damn can that man draw.
Yeah.
He did a animated Grimlock and animated Jetfire, done in the stylings of Clerks.
Me Grimlock's not even meant to be here today.
Which is a running joke from our podcast.
Indeed.
And he just seemed really happy to be drawing something quite mental.
Because it is a bit random, and it is awesome, and I will steal it one day.
Derek J. Wyatt drew me an animated fire car. I have an animated Cinder-Saw.
But yay! You did actually buy him a fire con, so he would do it.
He bought the only two Generation 2 fire cons that were there.
Did he?
Yes, there was two Generation 2 fire cons, and he bought the only two.
That was genius.
It's like no one in the world allows me to have these things to finish off my Firecon collection.
You're not allowed.
I have Brazilian Firecons. I have Japanese Firecons. I've got the original G1 Firecons. All I need is the two. Two! Not even three. There's two. The two Generation 2 Firecons. There was two. They were there. Derek J. Wyatt bought them. Probably my fault.
Damn you!
Probably my fault for making him draw me Firecons.
Yeah.
But it's also worth mentioning that Sorensen and Forrester,
yes,
awesome guys. Jim does not look the same without a fez on his head.
No, he must have that fez surgically surgically bonded to his head.
If you see any photos, that, like, I bet you 90% of the ones with Jim in that fez.
Yeah.
Looked awesome.
Only 90%. That thing's like some kind of space slug. It's now attached to his head for the rest of his life.
But those guys were awesome and more than willing to talk to the fans because they are fans themselves. And actually put up with the fact that I sat there going, you did this stuff about the Death's Head, because it's got the Death's Head, and it's got Deckard Guns and Salvus Blasters, and put up with me really geeking out at them.
It was great to see that the pair of them are as big a geeks as the people who were there.
Yeah.
But then again, James Roberts himself, looking down the sort of comics and things table, he just pointed out that every single person there came out of the fandom.
Yeah,
they're all people who were fans first, and then, working the
and
franchise
then that guy
second.
Right down at the very end was probably responsible for it all.
Yeah. Now, there was a man I thoroughly enjoyed talking to.
Only did briefly, but it was still cool.
Yeah.
Well, was that when he asked you where the toilets were and you went,
no, it was they're down there, can I hold your hand and take you there?
Although you do have a funny convention toilet story. You were stalked by a certain man every time you went to the loo.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like going to the toilet five times in one night. Well, I say one night during one day, and every time Scott McNeil's there. That was weird. Especially when the toilet wouldn't flush, and all I heard was, we're all gonna die. I think Scott McNeil's probably going to get a restraining order out on me for that one.
Preempted. Get one out of him.
Here, take this, Scott McNeil. You can't come within 20 feet of me. That doesn't change anything. I live in Canada.
I'm just edging my bags.
Because I'm shouting it at him from the sound of it.
I'm edging my bags. Yeah, somehow hears you from Canada.
A really big bullhorn.
There is one person we have to mention.
Who do we have to mention?
The one who coined the phrase Transformaniacs.
Simon Williams.
Simon Hollywood Williams.
Simon Hollywood Williams.
Keep your botcoms. And no botcom would you ever have that kind of entrance.
No.
You wouldn't have Transformania running wild with Hollywood Williams and botcom. No way!
Go to YouTube. Have
it's
a look.
On there. It's awesome.
In fact, even if you look on my channel, there is footage of it.
Shameless self-promotion.
It is.
Shameless.
But
shameless.
I don't know who else recorded it. There will be stuff out there on YouTube. There'll be a lot of it.
It's plentiful.
Yeah.
You may even see our shiny, happy faces in there somewhere.
Yeah, if you do, we apologise.
profusely.
Indeed.
I don't.
But yeah, it was a great weekend. Just, you know, the sheer amount of geekiness going on.
And not just from the people. Yeah. Not just from the fans. Yeah. Derek J. Wyatt, I think, could probably out-nerd 80% of the fandom.
Yeah, probably.
The man is fantastic.
Well, I had a lift ride with him. And I got mentioned, oh, I've got some G.I. Joe stuff. It's like, oh, have you seen the new Hunt for Cobra stuff? I've like, yeah, I've seen a bit. Oh, the new Hiss Tank's really good. Have you got a Hiss Tank? Yeah, I got the 25th one. Oh, that's cool. And it was just like a really surreal moment.
He owns
Derek J. Wyatt about Hiss Tanks.
He owns the majority of the animated line, and he's thinking about buying the Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
The man is awesome!
One of us.
One of us.
You really do give us geeks a bad name.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to name me for a minute. That was what's going to do.
Well, yeah. Both of yous, really.
I'll have you know, I give geeks the worst name. Oh, yeah, baby.
Hey, say what you want about us, but we've managed to turn your wife...
Beg your pardon?
...into this vase. Because I'm the... What the alchemist?
Bad language. There's a bleeper.
I'll bleep that one out. Oopsie. So anything else from the weekend?
The surrealness of having a lift with... taking a lift with Gary Chalk.
Yeah.
Explaining that we're stuck in elevator hell.
And just the actual surrealness of, yeah. You know, all these people that, you know, we geek out over because they're voice actors or mm-hmm. artists or writers or whatever. Just the sheer fact that as we walked around on the evenings and stuff like that, we just got to hang out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent a good half hour or something on the Saturday just talking to Jason. I can never remember his last name.
You're doing so well. For those of you who don't listen to our show, Rob is the newbie.
Yeah.
Rob is here to have a new look, a pair of fresh eyes over
He's not a jaded veteran like us, too.
No.
Nah, truck, not monkey.
In Rob's case, it's no monkeys, no trucks. Give me jets and hot rod cars.
No, Rob, it's more
Give me Gundams.
It was more a case of truck and monkey. What?
Triple changer?
Hey, I'm not that unknown. Yeah, I am. No, I spent ages talking to him just about random stuff, not necessarily about Transformers.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what happened last year with Greg Berger. I just ended up talking away with him about music because the man really loves his music. So that was it.
It's not to mention the sheer amount of toys to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have gone there with $1 million and, you know, not come back with any change.
Yeah, oh, easily.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I mean, for someone who's not really a Transformers collector, I just collect cool toys. The amount of stuff there that I wanted to buy.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, I know for a fact you guys were kind of like, I want this, yeah. But I can't afford it.
The scariest thing is, I came so close to buying a Japanese Beast Wars second Stampy.
Was that just because we were making fun of him?
No, it's because he's got the eyes of a killer. I kid you not, look at the Stampy toy, it has the eyes of a killer.
Yeah, there are several things I would have liked to have taken away.
Mm.
More generation stuff. But I'll live with my Straxus as being my only generations figure.
I'm certain that's not quite out yet, Straxus.
Well, as I was saying to you before we recorded, I found it weird that I was looking on one site and going, oh, they've got a gallery of Straxus. I'm going to have that figure 3 days.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I want my Straxus.
But yeah, dealers were top notch. Absolutely top notch.
I do have to say, Andy at Kapow, above and beyond, really was.
Well, I went to Free Darfs and I had a problem with a figure, and the guy didn't even... It was just like, oh, there's a bit missing. He said it was complete. He was like, oh, don't worry about it then.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a refund. Oh, cool, thanks. Yeah. Not a problem. Yeah, couldn't have been nicer. In fact, I didn't even hear of any problems over the weekend.
No. I heard nothing. Nothing but good things, to be honest with you. The fan sales table was a great, great thing.
Really? Great idea. Yeah. If that happens again next year, I'm going to be taking some more stuff.
Yeah, me too. I managed to shift quite a lot.
Really?
And
you sold everything you put in there,
didn't
you?
Yeah, everything I put on there sold, which was good. and the one thing that didn't look like it was going to sell, when it finally sold, the guy came and found me because I was desperately needing some money in my pocket at that point.
I need to eat. Too much toys.
Yeah, I was starting to think that I might have to put something that I'd bought on the table so I could actually have something to eat before we came back on the train on the Monday morning. It was looking a bit panicky.
Mm.
Thankfully, hotel breakfasts. Ah. Hey, is there anything else anybody wants to bring up?
The stupidity of real... Well, I'm saying it's stupidity. The kind of comedy value of me seeing Gary Chalk eating breakfast and going, "Woo, Gary Chalk eats breakfast like normal people!" But that was more as a comedy reference to Matt Locklips than anything
yeah.
else. But that was still... It is still kind of surreal, the whole sitting there. It's like, oh yeah, having a chat with your mates. Oh, there's Gary Chalk. He's coming out for a smoke, having a chat with us. It's Gary Chalk.
It's Gary Chalk admiring my pipe.
Yes.
Now that was a bizarre moment.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Oh, you were there for that one.
Was I?
Yeah.
I remember him admiring your pipe.
I have to admit, I don't. Maybe I...
Did you imagine that?
Maybe I just... I didn't sleep a lot that weekend, so... Mm. It's just with the still blanks.
It was when we had the pipe out and we were just messing around with the pipe. Just being silly with the pipe. Going, saying things like... And he walked past and he just went, "It's a nice pipe." What the hell?
I think it's like you were saying last year with Craig Berger. Everybody's kind of got a Scott McNeil or Gary Chalk story.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Or a DJ Wild story.
I got to pull Gary Chalk's finger.
Gary Chalk pulled my finger.
And we all high-five Scott McNeil to varying degrees of success.
Never ever run up and do a high-five at Scott McNeil. He hides behind women. I have footage.
But said women weren't complaining.
No, they weren't. So, with that, we'll give you back to your normal hosts.
We hope this wasn't too painful, having to listen to us ramble.
Should I mention where we're from?
Yes, gratuitously plug the site.
Gratuitous plug. Come visit us at www.oldoilhouse.co.uk.
Join the forums and join the madness.
Warning, it does contain nuts. And even if you've not got an allergy, you will die.
Oh, that's really great.
Join the forums and die.
Someone gives us the nice opportunity to come onto their show and plug our own. And what do you say? Don't come to ours, you'll die.
No, I'm saying come to ours, you'll die. If you don't
come to ours, you'll die. If you don't mind, I'm now going to go and have to re-educate my co-hosts. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Since the fall of Cybertron, the Autobots and Decepticons have spread across the universe. Small outposts are established on alien worlds by both factions to save those worlds or ravage them. Now, a small squad of Autobots, understaffed, under-resourced, and outmatched, discover a Decepticon plot that will push their planet to the front lines of the war. That planet is Earth. The fate of that planet will be decided by a roll of the dice. Transformers, From Peripheral to Pivotal, a tabletop role-playing campaign with a homebrewed rule set, now in its second season. Read the session-by-session data tracks in the role-playing actual play forum at www.rpg.net.
So we're back. I want to thank Grufflock for providing that to us. So our topic for this week is stolen shamelessly from the AllSpark, just like the old days. Transformers you've rediscovered that are awesome. So have you ever been digging through storage and come across a Transformer you've had for a long while, and then you realized again, or maybe even for the first time, you know, if you look at it with new eyes, that the toy is really cool, and it becomes kind of a new old favorite? Does that ever happen?
It has.
Yeah.
Example.
Abominus.
Really?
I was not kind of lukewarm on them. I have like a complete one and a bootleg one. And I was pretty lukewarm on them till not that long ago. I just pulled it out. I'm like, this is a great toy. And I was just in love with it for a while there.
Hunger is great.
Yeah.
He's like way ahead of his time.
Really?
Yeah, Hunger. I want one so bad I can change it.
Real, he's
it not, drives
he's,
me
he's,
mad.
Drives fantasy one.
He's no, he's no Blot, dude.
Blot's pretty great.
Well, there's only one.
Excuse me.
But no, I mean, I'm trying to think really what's so great about Hunger. Comparing him and Scattershot, I am always going to go on the side of Scattershot. Hunger is just kind of, sure, his monster mode, whatever, is cool, but the robot mode is generic. He's like a bulkier version of Onslaught. He's like, oh, that's it? Okay. Actually, all of this Scramble City style combiners, the main toy, kind of sucks. I mean, with the exception of, with the exception of Hotspot. I mean, he's kind of awesome, but.
If you really think about it, it's like, yeah. And they all kind of transform the same way, too. They lay on their back and fold up a little.
Yeah. But.
I mean, mine's kind of like one that I forget how often XP. It is until I,
sorry.
As I'm going to just take that away.
Okay.
But one that it's like I forget how awesome it is until I pull it back out, is Sure Shot. I really love that figure. I don't know why.
Sure.
But it's like every time I pull it out, I'm like, wow, this is a great figure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty good.
Apparently I'm alone on that. Okay.
But you said Sure Shot. Awesome. Mentally, I go into Beastie Boys, so I'm like, oh yeah, robots.
I mean, you know, I've got two of him. I don't have his gun, but He's nice-ish looking, I guess. He's just very late. He's just very middle G1 for me. It's like, oh, there's Sure Shot. You know, he's not my favorite toy by any stretch.
Well, no, that's fine.
I like his colors. I don't know why I have two of him. I don't have two. There are very few G1 toys I have duplicates of, but he's one of them. I don't get it.
Scramble City guys, you always kind of end up with a couple extras somehow.
Lightspeed is the only one that I have, and Swindle are the only ones that I have actually duplicates of.
I got a ton of the flip changer. The guys you pull back and they jump starters.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a ton of those guys.
Because they made like a billion of them.
Yeah, you can get them for like free. It's like go to BotCon. What's your
like
budget?
Mint
nothing.
Inbox.
Yeah. Budget nothing. There's 10 top spins. Oh.
Yeah, we're still cracking cases.
People. Yeah. I do find it interesting when people find cases of G1 toys and you find like 20 Ultra Magnuses on eBay that are like minty fresh because.
Yeah, what was that like 10 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I think it was Ultra Magnus too that.
It was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Or
he's still on wholesale.
Yeah.
He's still on He's still on the clearance rack.
Yeah. He's still at Toys R Us.
but what else? What else have you guys rediscovered as being kind of excellent?
You know, a lot of the Beast Machines V cons. Well, I liked them enough when they were out. I kind of forgot how cool they were until recently.
Scavenger.
I like Tank War a lot.
Obsidian.
Yeah. Obsidian. I haven't actually pulled Obsidian out for a while, but he is excellent. He really is. I think he was ahead of his time as far as design goes.
Yeah.
He was definitely one of my early favorites in Beast Machines.
You know, I like the Deployers a lot too from then. I'm the only one who liked the Deployers, but I loved the Deployers when they came out. And I still can't get enough of them when I play. Yeah, I know. I got weird tastes, but, you know.
You know, this is more recent.
Somebody has dropped
them. I'm the only one who bought them. Until Wreckers.
No, I got a set of the recolor ones around here somewhere.
Yeah, I got those too. I think the 3H Wreckers sold a lot of that Crow recolor. I mean, the Rav recolor.
Yeah.
No.
You know, this one's a bit more recent, but when I first got the Optimus Prime from Cybertron, I was like, he's okay. Mm-hmm. He's not bad. But then every time I came back to him again, he just got more and more awesome.
I actually didn't get him until recently, like in the last couple of years, and he is nice. I like him.
He's pretty sweet.
He's way better than Energon Optimus.
Yes.
Sadly, yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, but Deluxe Armada Optimus was boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, yes. I don't think anybody forgets how awesome that figure is.
He's a great toy.
Yeah. They wouldn't give us a chance to at them days. It came out like every time you turn around in a new deco.
Yeah. Slightly different deco, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I've got the third deco variation of it.
Well, they had the original, and then they came out with the one that was, like, more colored, like the Voyager version or Peter version, right? Or something like that.
Did you say the Peter version?
What?
No, Peter.
Okay.
Look at my Peter version.
All right. I was about to go chat roulette on this thing, but.
Oh, gross.
You know, I'm sitting here really thinking on this. For me, I would have to say it's like Classics Mirage. I liked it to begin with, but I picked it up a couple of days ago. I'm like, dang, this is a nice toy.
It is.
He's really nice.
It's a great mold.
It is a great mold.
It's really
fun. Three.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it in package, and he's like, oh, that looks okay. And you transform it, and I'm like, it's okay. But it's something that really, really, really grows on you.
You know, the thing about the Mirage mold that I find weird, and it might just be me, but when they redeco it, it's just different enough paint patterns every time to not make them look identical if you stand them next to each other.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
The mold really lends itself to recolors really easily.
Yeah, it does. I wish they would do it some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to have just three kinds.
At this point, though, it's got to be, like, falling apart, because, I mean, how many times has that mold been reused?
Quite a few.
Count the,
exclusive several.
Clear. I mean, you have to count them, because they've been used. I mean, the molds were used to make those, so.
Yeah. And then go ahead and count the international versions, like Kenkai and all that, because that's another mold reused. A lot of people don't do that, but.
Yeah.
There you go. Same factory.
Yeah, I mean, that one's gotten around with the extra recolors. I like that one, the one add-on that somebody made for it, which was just a translucent brown box to put around Mirage to pretend he's invisible.
That's great.
That's cool. You know, I loved them enough when they came out, but every once in a while I pull them out and just they get a little cooler each time. The Beast Wars Mutants.
Really?
I know they weren't.
Yeah, popular actually. At all.
Mm-hmm. They weren't popular, but those are great toys.
Yep.
I actually had a couple of those out this past winter when there was a lot of snow outside to take pictures of them, and I had a lot of fun messing with them again.
I remember finding them at my local Walmart between pay periods and hiding them on the feeder shelves because I figured they'd sell out pretty quickly. They didn't, but. I bought mine. I made a point to get mine from the feeder shelf, but you know, after that one wave, they were gone. They didn't like restock them too heavily or anything. So I guess that.
Yeah, you know, I saw Mutant Soundwave all of one time,
mm-hmm.
And you know, stupid me, I didn't actually buy it.
I had it. He's okay,
and so I still don't have one.
You know, for the people watching again, Blot is awesome. He's the best Transformer ever.
Turns into a walking
gnome.
How am
I getting flack for Sure Shot? And, like, Blot is being touted.
Because Sure Shot doesn't transform into a gnome.
Sure Shot transforms into, like, a generic, what, dune buggy or something?
Yeah, but he's, like, yellow and awesome.
But he's not a nose.
He's not a nose.
He can't smell.
I'm looking for my Sure Shot. It's around here somewhere.
Yeah.
What's Blot supposed to be? A gargoyle?
Show me a dune buggy that can smell.
Yeah.
It's like he's supposed to be a gargoyle or something, and then you like imagine going past like a church and seeing a gargoyle that looks like Blot. Like, wow, it's a big mean nose. Man, these Catholics are angry at this church.
They look down on you.
Here's my dusty hunger. He's generic. He's dusty. He's not not dusky, but dusty. He's okay.
Wait, I got a bootleg Abominus right over here.
Oh, they got. When did they make a bootleg Abominus? Oh, wait. Was he one of those that came with the? It was like three parts of Abominus and two of the Technoboss, or was that Bruticus?
He was released like that, but mine is a Chinese one. It came on card, put together as Abominus, but the card is like the size of a piece of poster board. Which oh I wish God. I like, do where I had it. I show you guys. It had like his box art and like a novel of words I couldn't read. Let me grab that. I remember showing Doug Delin it, and he was just like, "What is that?" Because here I would just hold this big piece of paper on a panel. It's like, and like Abominus looked like a basic compared to all this paper.
Man, that's extra funny if you know Doug.
Yeah. He's like, "What is that?"
Yeah.
And he was surprised, like.
His eyes bug out like cartoon eyes.
He did that cool like Ewoks do. Love Doug.
Doug's awesome.
Let me grab that thing.
So, do we have any other kind of items that have sort of surprised us? Anyone?
I can't think of any that anyone, I forgot were off.
I don't really have that many figures, so I can't like really add to the conversation, but it was the movie verse that got me back into Transformers.
Hey, Transformers the movie got me back into Transformers. So, I mean, if, you know.
Did
I miss that story?
It was back in 1996. I had a fifth generation VHS copy of Transformers the movie. And
so it was grainy and skippy.
Yeah. And I originally got it in like 1993. I literally watched it twice a day for a whole summer. But again, I was 14 years old. So, but then as a senior in high school, I picked it up and I picked up the movie and started watching it. And I'm like, wow, this isn't. It was me and Chris Triplett from the other show. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is exactly like the cartoon. It's like. I make fun of these people, but I was like any one of them. I all these half memories popped up about Optimus Prime was he was the walking epitome of cool, and he really wasn't. But Transformers the movie. So I pulled out all of my old Transformers that I still had. They were in my storage shed in the backyard. And I displayed them, and it got worse and worse. And I think I started actually collecting Transformers in like 98. It was after I actually got a job. And I made, $5,000 a year working part time. In 4 years, I had bought like $30,000 in Transformers.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Wow. No, when you go to the wall, you really go to the
wall. Yeah, I literally don't know how I sat down and wrote this down. I don't know how I spent more money than I had coming in, but somehow it happened. So yeah. So between
you must have like robbed people
or something.
Yeah, it's like her mentor.
Yeah, so like between 98 and 2001, I probably spent about $10,000 a year on toys. Literally every single day that the mail would run, I had Transformers coming in.
That's
a good feeling. Sick.
Yeah, so Rob is showing us in video his knockoff Abominus. Now, how big is that?
That's true to scale. I mean,
so it's 1-to-1. It's the size of the G1 toy.
Mm-hmm. This is my logic. I have a complete original Abominus with extra parts and storage. But who do I put out? The bootleg.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. What's great is a miscoloring. Especially on Center Twin, who's teal with yellow arms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And fake touch rub signs.
How do they work?
But they don't. They're just colored like how they put it with change.
Nice.
I think my favorite part, though, is Center Twin's painted on face.
Okay.
It's like a merry-go-round dragon or something.
Let's go ahead and take one last break. We'll go to our interview with Chad, who is putting on Slagicon. And we'll be back with Twitter Theater.
in a cold, far away world.
This is Stan Bush, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Fighting the war for Cybertron, till all are one.
Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight in disguise.
Hey, this is Rob from Radio Free Cybertron. You should know that because you're listening to us right now. And I'm on the phone with Chad, who runs Slagicon. How you doing, Chad?
Doing good, man. Thanks, Rob.
All right. So you're running this whole Slagicon convention. This year's going to be its first year, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it was my answer to the Midwest not having a show for a long time. You know, we had that other big show in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, and then we've had a pretty good dry spell in between that show and shows previous, and obviously they don't really want to come back here because California and Florida is the place to be. So I'm just answering, you know, what other people wanted, including myself.
So you say that why do you think that they don't want – BotCon, I suppose what you're referring to, doesn't want to come to the Midwest? Typically, BotCon does – jump from place to place, but since FunPub took it over, it is kind of centralizing. But do you really see that being the case long term?
I could see that being I can see them not coming to the Midwest long term. I could see them doing, you know, California, Florida, going up to where Hasbro is in Rhode Island, you know, and then they're out of Fort Worth, Texas, so I could see them doing Fort Worth as well. You know, and I can see them ultimately just bypassing this area quite a bit. And, you know, so, the people in the Midwest are really, you know, where it all started. We, you know, we had BotCon first, so we're kind of selfish in that respect.
Spoiled.
Yeah, spoiled. That's the word.
That's a trans fan.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. So where is the convention held?
It's going to be in a place called the Mill Creek Civic Center in Chesterfield, Indiana, which is about 30 minutes north of Indianapolis.
Cool. Obviously, you're holding your own convention, so you're something of a fan. What's your background? What really got you wanting to run a convention of your own? I mean, have you been stuck around since G1 like I have, or did you have a time where you actually grew up for a little bit and came back, or... Tell us about your fanship, man.
Well, I've been a fan since 1984, with the exception of high school. I grew up a little bit and thought that Transformers weren't as cool as I now think they are. And Beast Wars actually brought me back, you know, with all those great characters. And that really, ever since then, since about 1995, 96, somewhere in there, I've been a diehard Transformer fan, you know, got over 1,000 toys and a whole room dedicated to them in my house, which my wife doesn't really like, by the way.
They never do.
Neither does mine.
But, yeah, so I've been a fan, you know, I've done a little bit of art, not very good at it, pretty much kept it to myself. I've done one kit bash myself, and it turned out really great, and then I decided to change it, and it sucked, and you know, now it's gone.
Oh.
All in all, that's what got me to this point. I've done pretty much everything else with the exception of what you guys do, you know, and I've got the opportunity to put on a show, so I said, you know what, I'm going to put on a show.
How did the opportunity present itself?
Believe it or not, I'm a college student. I went back to school after 14 years, and I'm using my student loans to actually pay for all this.
Dude, that's hardcore. Wow. That's awesome.
Wow.
You get nerd points. I appreciate that.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you just became a few people's hero right there.
Yes. Wow.
I used my college loan to, like, buy Beast Wars toys and and a beer. You're putting on something for everyone else. That's really admirable. What do you see yourself doing this again next year, or you're like running out of?
are you waiting to see how this turns out?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm planning for next year. But if I don't get a good turnout this year, you know, with dealers and attendance, then no, I'm not going to be able to, because I'm not going to be able to afford it.
Right.
I mean, it's a pretty steep thing to pay to have this done.
No doubt.
Even in a small venue where we're going to be having SlagaCon.
What all does it entail running a convention? I mean, I've been involved with some. I've ran a few fan panels and stuff like that. But from the ground up, like you do, what's your convention workday looking like?
Well, my workday, as far as my convention goes, starts after I get off my regular job. So I got off at 7:30 tonight, and when you called, my work began again. But which this really isn't work, man. Honestly, anything that's Transformer related for me is not work. But you know, I didn't know anybody in the industry. As far as I knew, you know, a couple people online from different places, but ultimately I didn't know anyone. I had a guy named Jake Eisenberg contact me, who he's an inker, and said, "Hey, I want to do this." When I started putting this up, he said, "Hey, man, I want to do a comic for you." He said, "I got a team." He said, "We'll do it for free." You know, so I got a guy putting a comic together, and in that, I have to check comic book pages, writing pretty much every day, because they put out something new every day for me to look at. And then, you know, like I was saying, I didn't know anybody in the whole thing, in the whole Transformer world, including Greg Berger or David Soboloff or the other actor that we're going to have that I haven't mentioned yet or that I haven't announced yet. So I had to actively go out and find all these people and start putting it all together. And it's coming together finally. But, you know, it's a lot of work. And all in all, promoting is the hardest part. You know, going to, like, emailing, like, all these toy companies that are Transformer related and saying, "Hey, you need to be here. You need to do this. You know, this is a good opportunity for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good opportunity for me." And basically that, you know, that's what I do. I basically annoy the heck out of all these people that have their own companies just to get them here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what you have to do.
Huh.
This is really cool to me. You know, a lot of people complain about not having a convention local to them, like not having BotCon in their backyard, basically. You're one of the very few people who is willing to put up and put in the effort to have your own convention in your area. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, me too. What will the convention entail? What's going to go on at the convention? You mentioned Greg Berger and David Sobolov. You're going to have dealers and such. What would the itinerary be like on the day of the convention?
Okay, well, actually, it starts the day before the convention. David Sobolov and the other actor we haven't announced yet, which will be announced Monday. We'll be doing a pre-convention dinner, and it's going to be kind of nonchalant, and it's limited to like 30 or 40 people. I can't remember exactly how many. And they're going to do that the night before, and we're working out the details on that still. But, you know, they're going to get together with, you know, 30 or 40 fans and kind of, you know, just hang out. And then the day of the convention, we have like six different things that we're doing contest-wise. We're going to have a karaoke contest that's Transformer-related. And then we're going to have an art contest, of course. We are also going to have a costume contest and a kit bash contest. And a timed combiner contest. I went out and actually purchased some cheap knockoff Devastators. And I had a guy build me a setup for my little laptop so we can actually get accurate times, the person will actually start their own time and end their own time with a push button. And it'll, whoever has the fastest times will win. And it's, you know, it's going to be pretty fair because you start and you stop your own time. And then the last thing we're going to have is a G1 bio knowledge contest. As far as contests go. And then we're going to have, of course, we're going to have a voice actors panel with Greg, David, and the third actor yet to be mentioned. We will also have two autograph sessions. And David Soboloff and the other actor will be doing a voice acting class, an hour-long voice acting class, which is also limited in space.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So
yeah, 8 hours jam-packed full of stuff, guys.
So with the karaoke contest, you got some awesome in preparedness there. Is it just going to be like the Stan Bush classics, or are you going to throw some surprises in there?
Well, I'm actually going to, I've been thinking about that, and I've actually gotten some suggestions from some other TF people. I think we're going to throw in some Japanese stuff as well.
Just that could get verbally offensive.
I want videos of that one.
So, you know, it's going to, I think when it all comes down to it, people will be completely frustrated trying to sing in Japanese, and everybody will be laughing at him at the same time. So I hope everybody has a good time while that happens.
You should have a like a Final Jeopardy round, just to throw them off their toes and like throw in November Rain or something just to hook them up. Wait, what? Like,
well, I thought about throwing in the Bumblebee where he speaks when on the Transformers movie, the first Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
I thought about throwing in that little part where he uses Jack Nicholson and like 14 other things on a radio station. I thought about throwing that in there just to throw people off and see if they could actually do it.
Now that would be kind of cool. Like, see if they can keep up with it. Oh, wait, crap. I forgot he sung that part.
Yeah, exactly.
How does Can't Touch This go again?
So when is the convention exactly?
It is October 9th, from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Okay, cool. So how can we find out more?
What's that? At www.slidercon.com.
I'm looking at that right now. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
No, I'm looking at that right now, actually. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we have a guy. Everything's volunteer.
Cool.
The guy who put the website together is from England. And he was like, man, I just want to, yeah, I want to be part of this. He said, I'm not going to be able to come. And he said, but I will put you a website together that looks good, because I tried it myself the first time and it kind of looked like stick characters.
Nice.
So I'm really appreciative of everybody that's helped me out in this, and you know, they will all be mentioned in the comic book. Actually, we're going to have a page full of people that we appreciate.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
That is. It'd be really cool after the convention to get you back on. Maybe you could share with us the what all how it went from your, you know, not just a wrap up, but you know, what it was like afterwards. Like, man, I just ran a Transformers convention, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably be bald then. A little pulled all my hair out. So
business does that to you. Business does that to you.
I'll probably look like David Soboloff with the bald hair, the bald head, and everything. So yeah, that'll work.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Chad. That was excellent. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, thank you guys for having me on. Just remember, man, October 9th, FlagCon.
You Autobots are a bunch of fools. Don't even think about winning this battle.
Just who do you think you are? Where are you from?
All right, listen up. I'm the ninja consultant for the Decepticons. My name is Sixshot.
Oh, yeah?
Now you know who I am. Look out!
We're back. So, Rob, tell us about Twitter Theater this week.
This week was a good week for Twitter Theater, guys.
It was a great. It was a great week sure for was. Twitter Theater.
We talk
it
about
kind of ties back into Day in History too a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Good point. Good point. Because you know we talk about the RTM1 dubs a whole lot. One thing we never talk about is the Filipino version of Headmasters. Which you gotta wonder, like, is it great? It's like, yes, it is, because it's dubbed in exact same manner of what are they reading while they're reading a script. And there's it's the same clip I've linked 1,000 times before where they're at the party and Hardhead starts singing karaoke. And it's all true to form. Yeah. He actually sings the song sung in Headmasters. It's not like the RTM1 dub where all of a sudden the theme song starts up. But it gets wonderful because, as everyone knows, you've seen it, Chrome Dome offers RC he wants to dance with her. And this is where it gets beautiful because she goes, oh, do you know how to dance, Chrome Dome? And he tells her how he's a champion Filipino line dancer. And she's like, oh. And it's just like they start dancing, and they're not Filipino dancing or anything. They're not doing production. They're just dancing like you would an eighth grade dance. But he's like, oh, you didn't hear? And he's like proud of it too, which I would be too. And he's just like, I'm a, and she's like, oh, you are. I mean, if it got anything like that here, like if we had a Alabama dub of Headmasters, it'd be like, oh, you know how to dance, Chrome Dome? Well, shucks, I won the square dance off at the county fair 2 years in a row. I mean,
that needs to be our next special project, the Alabama dub of Headmasters.
And then instead of doing the square dance, he actually started doing hopscotch.
Yes.
It's the most random thing I could think of.
I think one of the fun parts is I haven't watched the Japanese version of Headmasters in a while, but I don't recall the crowd singing along with Hardhead. And according to the subtitles, they start saying bogey, bogey, bogey while he's singing. it shows background. Bogey, bogey, bogey. Would that mean something?
Somebody was on crack. Yeah.
I did a good job, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts, though, that I didn't show in this clip, maybe a couple of weeks later I'll show another Filipino clip, is whenever Stilljaw's on screen, he has this really weird little child's voice in the Filipino dub, and Blaster or Twincast sounds like he's high all the time. So he's like, oh, hey, what are you doing? Hey, get up, you need to help me. Okay. It's just like Christmas morning and waking up dad, but he's drunk on eggnog. Dad, get up. Too much eggnog.
Yeah, okay, awesome.
Sounds like he had a bit too much eggnog today.
Takes you back.
Yeah, okay. So I guess that's it for this week. Do we have anything else, guys? Anything we need to mention?
No more breaks?
No more breaks. No more breaks this show.
Yay.
Wow.
Yay. Let's take one for the sake of it.
You know, he's gone for most of the time.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back to say goodbye. That's awesome. Dun, 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 dun. So, yeah, again, don't forget to check out tfradio.net to view all of our awesome shows. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio. Fan us on Facebook. You know, I say this, but, you know, it's really worth doing. I'm not just saying it because, you know, we want, you know, people to follow us. It's like, you know, it's engaging. It's like really good stuff, except for maybe Twitter. Twitter does kind of suck. But Facebook, it's totally worth doing.
You guys should totally follow us.
Yeah, you should. And again, subscribe to YouTube. It's TF Radio Network. Go to tfvideo.net, subscribe, and you will be eligible, as long as you're not like part of the crew of tfradio.net or tformers.com. Yeah, so you'll be eligible to win Transformers Animated. Toys R Us exclusive Rodimus Minor. So, you should do it.
And this whole tube of chapstick right here.
No, I'm not getting that.
And maybe, maybe some Vegemite.
Maybe.
No.
Emphasis on the maybe.
No.
You'll get a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, no, no.
If I don't.
No, just Rodimus Minor. But, if you want to,
I don't know. If you really want the Vegemite, Lima will probably give it to you.
Yeah, that would be like the best gift basket.
No. So,
Chapstick, Vegemite, and a spot on this podcast.
Yeah, feel free to submit a video as to why you should win Rodimus Minor, and we'll play it on the show. Okay, so that's the show for this week. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. We love you. We love all our fans and all our listeners. And
Yes, hugs and
hugs
kisses.
And kisses to each and every one of you.
And fan T-formers on Facebook and
Twitter. Yeah, fan T-formers on Facebook. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, definitely T-formers. And give people high fives.
Internet high fives are awesome.
Internet high fives are awesome. Okay, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Ender, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, and XV. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.